I'll give you a minute to finish your sentences. Okay. All right. Well, we'll start the second session, and I love hearing all the conversation, just all the, because it's just, we are in this together, and we are encouragers of each other, and sisters in Christ, and we need each other. And so I'm just blessed in knowing that you're from all over the city too, all over Kansas City and beyond. And so it's just a blessing to have that bond with you all and to be able to be together today. Well, it is just about 48 days till spring. I'm just so excited. I counted. I thought, I'm going to figure out how much longer do we have with this. But, I mentioned in the first session that I live in New Philadelphia, Ohio, and I attend First Baptist Church there. And our pastor is Pastor Troy Stogsdill. And a lot of you, yes, are familiar with him. And also, our missions pastor is Pastor Jeff Bartell, and so a lot of you have probably heard him speak. And so we're really blessed. God has been so gracious to us, up there. And when Mark got sick and passed away, we were living in the Atlanta area. And so, Atlanta was not home. As much as I hated to not be near my son and his family, I couldn't drive there. It's just like it was a white knuckle ride every time I'm going anywhere. And, so I really knew New Philadelphia was always home. I know that's where Mark would have wanted me to be as well. We had even had discussions about that as far as, even if God would have allowed him to live, we were thinking we would probably ultimately end up back there because it was just home. We raised our kids there. And, so anyway, I'm so thankful to be back in that church. And, it's held strong for all these years and it's just a rock. So, but in that church, when you go into the main entrance and you see the church there, down that main entrance, there's this row of trees. And they're beautiful in the autumn because they turn this fiery, different oranges and reds. But they're especially beautiful in the spring. And you walk in or you drive in and it's just like they welcome you. You know, they're just so graceful and beautiful. They're just packed with these white blooms. And I think this kind of tree is actually now banned in Ohio. I don't think when they die, we can't replant them. That has to be replaced. I don't know if it's a Bradford pear or something. They kind of stink, though. That's the bad part. Okay. But I've been going to that church, 30 plus years. And, it just happens when you're walking in at the same time as somebody else and those trees are just so beautiful. It just sparks conversation. It's always like, oh man, can you believe how beautiful these trees? Oh, those flowers. And, it just really is a sight to behold. But of all of those 30 plus years that I've been going to that church, I've never had anybody go, whoa, can you believe the roots on those trees? Those have to be the most amazing roots. I can't even, nobody even thinks about that. Nobody talks about that. We just see the results of the roots. But, it's something that's usually always overlooked. And the reason that those trees are so beautiful is because they have a healthy, strong root system. And that may be one of the reasons they're banned, because I think the roots just go crazy and that's why they cause a little bit of damage or something. I don't know. Somebody has studied that out. And so. But I thought we would take a look today in this second session at a couple of Bible passages where we are actually likened to trees. And because you're in a Bible teaching church, most all of you are in Bible teaching churches, you know that the most important words in the Bible are like and as. And the reason those two words are so important is because what God is doing is he's showing us a picture of something we do understand in the physical world to help us understand a spiritual truth. And the first passage that we're going to look at today is Psalm chapter 1, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so this passage, what it does is it lays out for us characteristics of someone who is blessed. And the word blessed here in verse 1 is in reference to someone who possesses genuine happiness. Not the kind of happiness that we feel when we get a new house or we get a new car, because we're so excited and we're so happy. But that excitement kind of fades really quick when the payments start, doesn't it? It starts not being nearly so fun. But when I read a survey recently that was taken and it asked people what they want out of life. And as you could well guess, happiness consistently ranks as the number one popular want. And if that holds true, I have good news for you today. Because the passage that I just read is one of many in the Bible that tells us what happiness looks like and how to have it. So let's take a closer look at those verses that we just read. There are some things that a blessed woman or a genuinely happy woman makes certain are not a part of her life. First of all, she doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. She's very careful about who she listens to and who she allows to have a voice in her life. She also doesn't stand in the way of sinners, so she's very careful about where she positions herself in her daily life. And she doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. She's very particular about who she associates with, because she realizes that there are people that can have a negative influence in her life. And a blessed woman recognizes the downward spiral of that influence. I've mentioned already how I grew up going to church, and I remember we used to sing a little song, and maybe you sang it too. Let's see if I can, me. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. So be careful, little eyes, what you see. You know it too. We all sing it. And sometimes I wonder, do you still sing it in the little kids' class? Do you still do it? Yeah. And it's a great little song. And how it goes through, oh, be careful then, little ears what you hear, hands what you do, feet where you go, tongue what you say. And I don't know if the writers of that little song based it on a particular Bible verse, but that song is pretty much a grown-up version of Psalm 1:1. Because what that verse is teaching us is what can end up happening if we begin to walk according to the counsel of the ungodly, then that usually leads to our standing or observing their way of life. And before we know it, we find ourselves sitting with them, taking part in a way of life that goes against the truth that God says should characterize our lives as followers of Jesus. Mark, in his book, 52 Weeks of Pursuit, wrote that patterns and examples of this are repeated over and over in Scripture, as well as lives of many believers right up to the present day. Seldom, if ever, are Christians suddenly overtaken by the world. You know, you're not just minding your own business and then all of a sudden, I'm in horrible sin. You know, it usually there's progression. There are steps that are taken. And it usually begins with friendship with the world. James 4:4 tells us friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. That's pretty stern. That's pretty extreme. You know, it's not just, oh yeah, he kind of is just like disappointed about that. He says you're his enemy. It becomes loving the things of the world. 1 John 2:15 tells us that if we love the things of this world, the love of the Father is not in us. And then finally, the ways of the world become such a part of the fabric of who we are, we become completely engulfed by Satan's diabolical system of evil, much like we were before God delivered us out of it at salvation. So a blessed woman realizes there are people that can have a negative influence in her life, and she recognizes that downward spiral of their influence. But the psalmist identifies the positive things that do characterize the blessed woman. The blessed woman, the truly happy woman, delights in the word of God. It brings her great joy, and she delights in it because she loves it. And then secondly, the blessed woman meditates on the word of God. All the day and night, the word of God completely saturates and controls her mind. Every situation she faces and any circumstance she finds herself in, she filters it through, what does God have to say about that? And God's thoughts become her thoughts, and we are blessed to have access to the thoughts of God in the Word of God that He preserved for us. And then thirdly, the blessed woman plants her life in the Word of God, and she develops a strong biblical root system. And that root system nourishes and strengthens her and will cause her to bear fruit and cause her to continuously prosper spiritually. And being in a place where we are strong and bearing fruit and prospering spiritually is what the Word of God tells us is genuine happiness. Unfortunately, what happens many times is we allow ourselves to be so busy and we try to fill our lives and our families' lives with all kinds of activity because we think that's what's going to make everybody happy. And because we allow ourselves to become so busy, we begin to prioritize things that we view as important above what God says is vital. Many times we have our kids and ourselves so overbooked that we don't have time. We don't have time to seek God's face or to spend time in personal worship and prayer. And then if you have children, you have no time to diligently teach them about what God says. Because He tells us when you rise up, when you're walking with them in the way, in the night, it's a diligent, intentional process that that parents and grandparents are supposed to be with their children. And the most ironic part of all of this is that we as humans, as God's creations, think we know best about what's going to bring us happiness. And we do everything we can to get it, many times at the exclusion of the very things that God says will give it. So we've touched a little on verse 3 already, but let's find our place again there in Psalm 1 because it actually gives us the results of verses 1 and 2. So like we saw in verse 1, if we are careful about who we seek counsel from, if we are careful about where we position our daily lives, if we are careful about who is influencing our lives, then verse 2 tells us, if we are delighting in and meditating on the Word of God, then verse 3 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So just like a tree, having strong, nourished roots is imperative for every day of our life. And you know, our spiritual growth can just kind of be steady, you know, no highs, lows. It can just be steady day in and day out. So much so we might not even notice our growth on a daily basis. But it becomes extremely evident when difficulties come. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 tells us, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And I don't think it comes as a surprise to anyone in this room that heat and drought, they do come in our lives. The Bible very clearly tells us that over and over. It says in Romans 5:3, our tribulation worketh patience. Romans 12:12 tells us to be patient in tribulation. John 16:33 said, in the world you'll have tribulation. And I think you get the idea. God's given us the heads up, you know. And it's in those times of difficulty and in times of trial that we find out just how deep and how strong those roots are. Because when our roots are strong and deep, the Word of God is able to minister to us. And when we are trusting the Lord and the Lord is our hope, when heat comes and drought, is it going to be easy? No. But we won't be worried or full of care, because the Bible tells us that we will be like a tree by the rivers of water, and we will be able to stand, and our leaves will be green, and we will still bear fruit. Not in our strength, but in God's power and in His strength. I ran across this interesting article as I was preparing this lesson, and it's called The Great Experiment. And I wanted to share some portions of this article with you. It's written by a man named Dennis Jones. And it is a true story. So it doesn't sound like it would be, but it is. But there was a great experiment in the desert called the biodome. And you may have heard this. Anybody heard of the biodome? Yes, yes. And so it created a living environment for human, plant, and animal life. A huge glass dome was constructed to house an artificially controlled environment with purified air and purified soil, healthy soil, and filtered light. Well, the intent was to afford a perfect growing condition for trees, fruits, and vegetables, as well as for humans. People lived in the biodome for many months at a time, and everything seemed to do well, with one exception. When the trees grew to a certain height, they would topple over. And it baffled the scientists until they realized they forgot to include the natural element of wind. Trees need wind to blow against them because it causes their root systems to grow deeper, which supports the tree as it grows taller. And don't we all wish for a perfect growing environment? You know, no problem, no pain or grief. Have you ever noticed a tree in the storm, how it bends and it sways so gracefully when the wind blows against it? It doesn't stand rigid and resists the push of the wind. The tree actually accepts the strong wind as a blessing that helps it grow. And that's how it is in our lives. The wind in our life helps to develop our character and deepen our spiritual roots. See, roots are the anchors of the tree, and they go down deep and they spread out wide. many times 2 to 3 times the width of the tree canopy. And they are just soaking up water and minerals and storing it for nourishment. And you might be listening to this and say, I don't think I have that. And if you don't have deep roots yet, that's okay, because you can still get them. But it first begins by entering into a personal relationship with Jesus. And I just want to take a minute to just explain what I mean by that. You see, when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden tree in the Garden of Eden, as a result of that, sin entered into the world. And the Bible tells us that sin was passed on to every one of us. We are all born with a sin nature. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And then Romans 6:23 tells us what the penalty of that sin is. And it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And because God loved you and me so much, He left the glory of heaven, came to this earth, and was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life and paid the penalty for our sins by dying on the cross. And after 3 days, He rose again, victorious over sin and death, just exactly like the Bible prophesied it would happen hundreds of years before. And when we come to Jesus in prayer and confess that we are a sinner and accept His payment for our sins, and we put our faith and our trust in Jesus as our Savior, we become a part of God's family. Salvation comes not through this church or any church or by any work that we can do or rules that we can keep. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It is only by God's grace and through the finished work of Jesus alone. And then when we become His child and God becomes our Father, that's when we're planted into God's family. And that could happen for you today. We would love to talk with you or answer any questions that you might have about how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus. And then, you know how when you plant a tree, you know, you bring it home from the nursery and like the trunk's about this big and it has this big root ball on the bottom. And so you dig a hole, or somebody digs a hole, and they plop that thing down in there. But you can't just leave it there, you know. It's gonna topple over. It needs, so you go and you get a post, and you put it next to it, and you tie it to that post or secure it, or you put stakes in the ground, and you make sure that it's secure. Until those roots take hold, they have to be there. And then until it can stand by itself. And that's like it is with a new follower of Jesus too. We all needed someone to stand with us and help stabilize us and brace us by teaching us what the Bible says until we are able to grow our roots deep. And here at Heartland Baptist, it's called discipleship. When someone will sit down with you one by one and help you to know and understand what the Bible says. And if you would like to know more about that, please see Amy or Paige, the lady that brought you from Heartland here, and they would love to answer any questions about that that you might have. And when our roots are strong, we will be like the tree, we will be steadfast. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says we will be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And like we see in Colossians 2, verse 7, we will be rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. And I mentioned earlier about how God never said that we would never have problems, and we talked about that in the first session. But let me share with you what He does say when we do have those problems. He says in Hebrews 13:5, says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says that God is the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. John 14, 27 tells us, peace I leave with you, my peace, his peace he gives to us. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 16, 33 tells us, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us to give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I had to come to that place in my own life to where you fully accept and realize I'm here for a short time. We're here on a mission. All of us are. And our mission, all of it's going to look different, and it's going to have different circumstances and situations that come in and out of it. But God's going to get us through. He's going to give us the strength that we need to get through them. Even in situations to where I would have years ago looked at that and thought, oh man, I hope that never happens to me. I can't do that. I'll never be able to do that. I don't know how I'll be able to get through that. And I couldn't, but God gave me the strength and the comfort and everything that I needed. He's exactly what he said he would be, even in times that we don't understand it. He doesn't have to explain that to us. We don't have to know. We're the creation. He's God. He knows. He knows what needs to happen, because there may be somebody, maybe somebody I would never be able to reach, that because I'm in the same situation they're in, they might be more willing to listen. And so God has graciously allowed us to start a widow's ministry in our church. We first started, we had 8 widows show up, and it was wonderful. They were precious. It was wonderful. And I didn't know what God wanted to do with it. I didn't know, you know, what do you want this to look like, Lord? Please just take it, show us, direct us. And he just started bringing his widows, not just from our church. They're coming from the community. 5 counties are represented now. There's over 150 widows that are coming. And we are faithful to give them the gospel every time. We make sure it's like, we want to make sure, because there are times that we'll have a widow's meeting, and the next one, we have them every other month. The next time, ladies have passed away. We don't know when the last time is going to be that we're going to see them or have the opportunity to share the gospel with them. And I look at that. It's not what I would have picked, you know, but to be able to allow God to take your situation, take your circumstances. He's the one that can make beauty for ashes, and he's the one that can turn situations and circumstances around to where you can use how God has comforted you to comfort others that are going through the same thing. So I went off script. Sorry. I'm like, okay. I was telling, and sometimes you, sometimes I do that and I'm like, I hope we don't regret this. But I just felt impressed that I wanted to be able to share that with you, that there are times that we wouldn't have written it like this. We wouldn't have picked this, you know, but you trust God, and that's where faith really takes hold. Is because I thought, I've been in ministry. Mark and I were in ministry together for 42 years. And I didn't know what life looked like without Mark. We dated in college, and all my life, pretty much, everything I've learned, I pretty much learned from him. So those of you who have listened to him, you're probably hearing things that he would have said, because that's where I learned it too. But I didn't even know what what life would look like, you know, without him. And I thought, I have counseled women for all these years, and I've given them all these verses, and I've tried to, you know, bring comfort to them in those verses, which obviously God's word doesn't return void. And so I know that he takes his word and uses that. But then when all this happened in my life, it was like, okay, Sherry, now what are you going to do with that? Where's your faith now? You know, do you really trust that I'm in control of this? Do you really trust me that this is my plan? And that's where I feel like my faith grew leaps and bounds, because I thought I had faith. I think we go along when we don't have difficulties, and we think we do. And we try to feel like we're living by faith. But it really, you really find out when you go through a struggle. And that's why these roots need to be planted deep. And that's why we need to be allowing God to nourish us through his word. And then when those come, we don't have to worry. We don't, our leaf's not going to wither. And we're going to be able to stand in those times because our roots are strong. And when we come to the place where we are finding joy and delight in the Word of God, and God's thoughts saturate our mind, when our faith and trust and hope is in God, we will grow strong roots and we will bear fruit. We will be blessed, and whatsoever we do will spiritually prosper, and we will find true happiness. And if you have never been planted in God's family, I pray that you will do that today. Please don't leave here and not knowing if you have a relationship with Christ, because it is the most important decision that you will ever make in your life. And I would encourage you to talk to someone. So thank you.
So glad to be here today with y'all, and I'm so glad that all of you are here today and to listen to Sherry and what she's been through. And all of us, I know, have been through difficult times that are very unique to us, and that God's had to strengthen us through and really help our roots grow deep. And I want to quickly just, it was hard for me to see God's, the big picture of my life, to see how he was working in every detail. And you would see glimpses of it here and there as you trust the Lord and just seek his face. But to see the big picture, and after you've lived as long as I have, you'll be able to see more. My name is, did I say my name? My name's Anita Neville. And, we've been here about a couple years and getting to know people here at this church. And I'm also glad to see people from even other churches around Kansas City. And it seems like a family reunion get together. I'll just briefly go through from beginning to end in about 15, 20 minutes real quick about how, seeing that big picture, how God works through my life. So, I grew up in a, Christian home, and, but I didn't really understand. I knew about, you know, some scriptures and how we're supposed to live as, being godly people, but I didn't quite understand all of that. And I went to youth camp when I was 15, 16, and heard about the gospel and how Jesus died for my sins, and that he was buried and rose again the third day so that I would have new life. And I didn't, and I was kind of afraid of that whole thing. I didn't want to give my life up. I didn't really know what that meant, but I had my own friends. I had my own life, and it was kind of, it, to me it seemed like it worked, but it wasn't what God's plan was in my life. And for each of us, God already has a plan in place, and we just need to get into his plan. And so God used my mom to help me sign up to go to youth camp. And there was hundreds of kids that went and got saved through this program back then. And when I accepted Christ, I actually confessed that who Jesus was and asked forgiveness. And I knew that he took that burden of sin from me, and that I was not, I was a part of his family now. And that ever since then, he's been taking care of me and just helping me along the way to understand his goodness. I try to be as faithful as I can and see things from his perspective, but it's not always, it's very hard because his ways are so much higher than mine, and he has so much more wisdom than me. So just getting to know his words, it's so hard to comprehend, but the Spirit helps us when it enters into our hearts. And so I just had to give my heart over to the Lord. I became a single mom right off, and so the plans to go to college and have a career kind of ended right there. But I knew that I was still in God's hands, and God was going to take care of me anyway. But I just had to ask for him to help. So I really needed, to find a godly man, and I needed to find somebody that had a little bit of money, so, because otherwise we wouldn't have, any financial help. But God already knew, and he had put me with David Neble, and I actually knew his parents when I was growing up in that Youth for Christ program. They had an area, so I was raised in Raytown area, and so he lived two blocks from me, and his parents had a Bible study. So I went to that Bible study, and then when I was like 13 and he was 18, he took me home from that Bible study. His parents told him to. So and I was looking at him like, oh, he's pretty handsome. I'm like, but being 13, I was not going to be somebody that's going to be start dating, So and later God put us back together after I became a single mom and then needed his help. Then we quickly had five kids all together. By the time I was 30, I had five kids, so I really had to trust the Lord again. It was hard. And I had no idea really how to be a good mom or wife or anything. So there was a group at KCBT back in the old days that had I was in my, 20s, and I had, everybody had these little kids. So we was in a mom's group and just learned how to be a wife that God was pleased with and my mom. So I, started learning how to get into the Word and study just from that group. And they had a how to study the Bible book. And so I learned how to do word studies. And Proverbs 1-3 is great on wisdom and how to learn about God's wisdom. And then Proverbs 3:5-6 talks about trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean unto thine own. Let me start over. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And then also 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I was taught to study the word right off, and it was good because even though I was a stay-at-home mom for a while and I didn't have a career, but I ended up having other jobs along the way, but God just helped me to have that joy and happiness as a mom and be content. And it was a, God was preparing me because we ended up, well, my husband became pastor of a Russian class at KCBT for 7 years. And then we ended up going on the mission field for 2 years in Belarus where they spoke Russian. And I hadn't prepared for learning another language. So, we all had learned Russian. And this is my, daughter Annabelle here today with me. But, we learned Russian and we just, it was just a hard transition to be able to, you know, sell your things. And then, as we went to, we were preparing, God was preparing us to go to the mission field from this, but, we had to learn Russian and the kids learned with us, sorry. And, so we was, I was a missionary wife for 2 to 3 years. And then, you know, we went, wherever God was leading us, we went. But God had closed the doors to, Belarus. So nobody could get back into the country. It was pretty much, they didn't like the Western way or American ways. So they just closed the doors to anybody ministering to them. And so it was discouraging coming back and trying to figure out what God was doing. And it was hard. And I just ended up getting busy about being a mom, but also just busy about my own things and forgetting about getting food and water from the Word of God and just having those roots go down and getting fed like I should have been. But so it was just hard, but God used that time and actually brought Mark Trotter to, when we lived in Santa Fe, New Mexico, to come there at a marriage conference and speak. And it was quite a blessing, and God knew that we needed him in our lives at that particular time. And we even went to a marriage conference, you know, in Atlanta, around there, Georgia, and got to stay at their home. But you know, God just has his close knit family in the Word, in the Lord, and he always just brings those people back into your life, even if you go other places. And it's just amazing how he works. And I had to get to the point where I realized that what I was doing wasn't working. And it's hard to do that when you think, I've got this, you know, I don't need your help. And God, you have so many other things to be doing and working on and helping other people that you don't need to help me with anything. So you kind of get independent thinking. And so, it just, and you know, Leah's down here laughing because she knows, we talk about this in discipleship, you know, because we're going through discipleship together. And but anyway, I had to get to the point where I, you know, turned and repented again for going too far away from the Lord and not having it work out the way it should have worked out. So, but God is always there, and he said he will never leave us or forsake us. His charity is one that is always, you know, there for us, and that's his standard of love. Our standard of love is so much less than that, you know, we can't even compare to his type of love that's always there for us. But it says in Philippians 3:13-15, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So that was what God had to get me back focused on, was his high calling, not mine. So in this world, we have so many influencers, so many people that are about their own business and about trying to tell people what they know and how to look or how, what to do. And it's just so distracting. And it's like, oh, I just got to get back to what is the word saying, you know? And it helps us focus on things that will last forever instead of being temporal things. So, but it says, let us therefore be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. There's more on being perfect and pressing towards that mark of the high calling of Christ. In Philippians 2, it's actually Christ's example. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So, like when you go to in a plane, and Shara had to come on a plane, they tell you, put the oxygen on yourself if something happens. Put it on yourself first, then you help somebody else with their oxygen. So, sometimes we're just not prepared. We don't think about it. We're instinctively just want to help people, but we don't even have our own self strengthened or haven't fed ourselves with the word, so we can't really give out what we don't have. So, but it said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him a form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We live in a time where this church age, and since the 1900s at least, and no one's persecuted, at least in America, like other countries. And centuries before that, a lot of church ages were, they would have their head cut off or be burned alive for just believing in the Word of God. We have it so easy, and we're just so distracted on so many different things on levels that God is telling us that we need to get our focus back on Him, not in, because, you know, people end up worshiping other things other than Him. And it's like idol worship, like Israel did. But we need to have the mindset that makes us virtuous women, ready for our husband, Jesus Christ, when He returns. And the virtuous woman, she was one who, it says, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. So this woman is, if you study wool and flax, it always comes back, wool, you know, being white, and, you know, it all comes back to the Word of God. And so what we have as believers and Christians, as women, we have to go to the Word of God and strengthen ourselves in the Word and know what it says to be able to help others, ourselves and others. But she bringeth her food from afar. That's a type of like studying the Word of God, going and getting it. It's in Proverbs, it says, you know, you seek it like you're digging for gold, because it is gold. It's true gold. And the streets will be made out of that in heaven. And she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth out, not out by night, like the picture that's up, you know. She constantly meditating on the Word day and night. And as we do that, we can, we're also in prayer for what's going on worldwide and in our families and just spiritual families and people that we really care about. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. This world is all about now. You know, get the glory now. Get your all the blessings and all the good stuff right now. And just so you can tell others that's how it's done. Well, that's not God's way. God's way is invest now in his word and get the glory later. Because you know what? It's going to be a lot longer than just a little life of even 100 years. It's hardly anything compared to eternity. So we have to think about that. And favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. So our focus, you know, we have to take care of our physical body and we have to, like, be presentable. But the woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And we will look for that shall is in there for a reason. It's not there because it's just old English and it's boring. It's there because it's going to be the future. It's what our future is going to look like. And all the things are popular right now. It's not going to be popular. Only Jesus will be on his throne, and we're going to be worshiping him. So give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So that'll be the rewards that we'll be getting because we just obeyed.